from a delusional disorder focused on her unfounded suspicions that her husband had sexually abused the party's child and had sexually abused a child from a prior marriage who was also abusing the party's child and was attempting to poison the defendant and had murdered his ex-wife and was otherwise gaslighting the defendant. So the trial court noted that years of division, meaning division of, well, now it's DCPMP. Their years of investigations had found no evidence to substantiate the defendant's alleged allegations. And while defendant recognized some of her allegations as delusions, she continued to believe in others and failed to recognize how limiting this was. So the trial court gave the plaintiff sole custody and designated him as plaintiff of primary residence, ordering a parenting time schedule. And so on appeal, the plaintiff argued that the... So the fact on appeal, plaintiff argued the trial court erred in permitting the trial to proceed because the defendant was severely mentally impaired and required a guardian ad litem to be appointed, and further erred in granting defendant unsupervised parenting. According, of course, the court rejected, not of course, but he did reject the plaintiff's arguments that they affirmed the trial judge. So the appellate court rejected plaintiff's arguments and affirmed, finding there was no basis for the trial court to sua sponte, which means... In this case, the trial court specifically rejected the defendant's delusions and found no evidence to conclude they were harmful to the child. And the court further affirmed the trial court's economic orders, finding that the trial court made requisite findings to support equitable distribution and limited duration alimony. Well, I think that is about it, and I think so because this hot, humid day, I'm falling asleep. I apologize for that. And let's go to the news, and we'll be back with the sports guys.
USA Radio News.
Clark County, Nevada Sheriff Joe Lombardo said today the Las Vegas Police Department final report will say that investigators have not been able to determine Stephen Paddock's motive for carrying out the deadliest random shooting in U.S. history. The report also indicated that Paddock acted alone. The economy is still adding jobs, just not as many. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
The report from the Labor Department released on Friday morning shows 157,000 jobs were created in July. That's fewer than the 190,000 that analysts had predicted, and it's well short of the 248,000 jobs that had been created in June. Still, July is the 94th consecutive month that the economy has added jobs, the unemployment rate falling 0.1% to 3.9%. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead. Dust off that extra-long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your shortlist. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. Hey! So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach? Hey! Because Hotels.com lets me do me. Hey! And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
More than 35,000 people from Georgia to Vermont remain at risk for flash flooding today as heavy rainfall is expected to blanket the East Coast. Lynchburg, Virginia saw 6 inches of rain, and this resident says he's never seen anything like this.
I've been in this town my whole life. I've never seen anything like this before. Never even heard of a tornado here.
According to ESPN, Bob Evans restaurants have suspended their endorsement deal with Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer. Meyer was placed on administrative leave earlier this week after reports claimed that he knew about a domestic violence allegation against one of his former coaches and did nothing about it. That coach's name was Zane Smith. His wife explains why she believes Meyer knew something.
He never spoke to me about the physical abuse, but he had, you know, made a couple comments to me, and we had had a couple conversations, very brief. How are you guys doing? Everything okay?
Meyer did say he agrees that he should be on administrative leave while this whole process is playing out. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or perhaps want to be one for the first time, listen up. Seeking non-doctor entrepreneurs to operate a niche medical clinic for erectile dysfunction with no needles, no medication, and no surgery. I tried it out myself to see if it works. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an all-cash business. No insurance. The income potential is enormous. You need 100,000 liquid to get started. Go to medicalpartnership.info. That's medicalpartnership.info. Medicalpartnership.info.
More than 10,000 firefighters are continuing to fight wildfires in Northern California and Southern Oregon. As evacuation orders continue to come in across both states, firefighters say they do what they can to save people's homes.
When we see people's property, be it a house, a car, old trailers or whatever, that's somebody's possessions.
We've been hearing a lot lately about women who are waiting longer to have children. And while the overall number of births in the United States declined last year, according to the Centers for Disease Control, the number of women in their 40s having babies actually rose. Dr. Jill Ashton talks about some of the risks of having a child later in life.
In obstetrics, we kind of draw a line in the sand at the age of 35. It doesn't sound geriatric, but medically that's what we use. We know there are some increased risks when women give birth over that age, and they run the gamut. Preeclampsia, gestational diabetes or diabetes during pregnancy, preterm labor or growth. You can have a small fetus. Then there are other risks, chromosomal abnormalities, increased risk of C-section, placental problems, and of course stillbirth. That doesn't mean that's super high, but it does go up over the age of 35.
There.
And we have to be clear, there are some 40-year-olds who are healthier than they were when they were 30.
That's
so vitality and health today are making it possible and more common to have a totally healthy pregnancy.
That audio courtesy of ABC News, and for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. It's the sports guys, and as soon as I tell you about the weather, we'll be talking about sports. And Bill, who's with me, we haven't seen John yet, but Bill Wolfson is one of the other sports guys, and I'm waiting. Hopefully John Manfreda will be here because I'm sure they'll have interesting discussion about the Yankees and the Red Sox.
No doubt we will, Pat, and good afternoon, everybody. It's just after 5 o'clock somewhere, and we're right here at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio here in beautiful downtown Flemington. And, you know, Pat, we really need to do hear about the weather because if you don't like it, wait a half an hour and it's going to change again. It's like
did you have a lot of rain here? Because where I am near Round Valley Reservoir, it poured. I mean, it was unbelievable how much it rained.
We had rain of biblical proportions for about 5 minutes, and then the sun came out again.
Oh, it was longer where I am, but again, then the sun came out, and humidity, of course, is not fun. But today, about 80 degrees. They said this afternoon, 60% of chance of heavy rain. And if you didn't, wherever you are in this area, if you didn't experience a heavy rain, it just must have been pockets because it was very strange.
We're getting one storm cell after another, Pat.
Yep.
So why don't you tell our listeners about the weather coming?
All right. Well, tonight, 40 to 80% chance of heavy rain and patchy fog. Tomorrow morning, there will be showers and patchy fog, about 80% early, and then a chance of thunderstorms, 40% chance. So tomorrow should be somewhat like today. Maybe more rain. By tomorrow night, there's a slight chance of thunderstorms. And Bill, what you want to hear about is Sunday, because although we may start out with patchy fog in the morning, it will then be sunny. And the patchy fog probably before 8 o'clock, so certainly you could get down and get to your boat and have a beautiful day or afternoon sailing. Mostly clear on Sunday night, and then of course when most of us have to be back at work on Monday, it will be mostly sunny, and then another chance of thunderstorms on Tuesday. So we're here with the sports guys. Maybe we should hold off
let's hold off on the Yankees Red Sox on the off chance John shows up before time's up.
And
but I will tell you, Pat, I've been following the world champion Philadelphia Eagles training, and they're starting to run some interesting plays with some interesting personnel. And one of the things that I think we're going to see more and more of is a running play that's designed with running back Corey Clements taking a pitch running left and then running right behind Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce is the center. He's a very large, agile man. He's very quick. And next to him, they put Jason Peters at left tackle to pick up on anybody who might be rushing. And the interesting thing about Jason Kelce is that he is somebody who runs the 40-yard in 4.4 seconds, so he's very fast. And many people say that when he gets moving, he is almost as fast as, or if not faster than some of the Eagle running backs. And for a big guy like Jason Kelce, he's going to be letting the Eagles run this play a lot. They ran it a number of times successfully throughout the playoffs. And for whatever reason, the New England Patriots really didn't pick up on it because it was only run in the second half and both times they had some nice gains. So if you're an Eagles fan or a football fan and you're looking for a little bit of what to anticipate, take a look at this play. Watch Jason Kelce, the center, Jason Peters, the left tackle, and the pitch that Nick Foles seems to be making to Corey Clements. Meanwhile, the Eagles have not been putting Carson Wentz into a lot of practices. He's not doing the contact drills, so they're keeping him out of those, and that says to me he's not fully healed yet. Most of the reps with the first team have been taken by Nick Foles, so I think we have a Carson Wentz, who great quarterback, has had a couple of really good seasons. He's just not well yet. So, Pat, how are Packers doing?
Well, I've been not following as much as usual because I've been more interested, frankly, in the 2018 class that's going into the Hall of Fame because, one of my favorite players as a kid growing up played on that Lombardi era and should have been in the Hall of Fame, I think, years ago.
Jerry Kramer?
Jerry Kramer is going to be inducted. He played for 11 seasons from 1958 to 1968. And, of course, that meant that Jerry was on the team when Lombardi first came there. And, one of the things that any Packer knows is that he's remembered for that key block that made the way for Bart Starr's game-winning touchdown in the famous 1967 NFL Championship game, otherwise known as...
Go right ahead, Pat.
Otherwise known as the Ice Bowl.
The famous Ice Bowl.
The famous Ice Bowl. And one of the things about Kramer that I remembered is he was really fast. He was really agile. And he would do... he often did the blocking for Paul Hornung. And so they had that... I'm not sure. I can't remember what the name of that play was. But it really was so successful so often. He would block and Hornung would... just run right around probably the left tackle or maybe even the left end because Jerry was able to block for him as successfully as he did. But that quarterback sneak, you probably have seen that because, that was an unbelievable game. What they had done in Green Bay is they've always had grass, but Lombardi had put in all of these special tubes under the pipes under the field, so that they could keep that field warm. Well, at 30 below zero, they couldn't keep it warm, and everybody was slipping and sliding all over. It's probably one of the past highlights that you see most often. I mean, it really is. And I've been at very cold games. I can't imagine what that one was like. But I've actually been at that Giant championship game. No, I'm sorry, Giant playoff game when they beat the Packers, but it was 13 below zero.
Well, that's awfully cold, Pat. Yeah. For those of you who want to catch the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony, it starts on Saturday night, tomorrow, August 4th, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and it goes on until about 10, and it's going to be broadcast live if you get the NFL Network or ESPN, or you could live stream it on ESPN.com, the NFL app, or watch ESPN app. So the inductees are Robert Brazeal, Bobby Bethard, Jerry Kramer, Brian Urlacher, Brian Dawkins, Randy Moss, Ray Lewis, one of my favorites, and for reasons that I am not able to explain, Terrell Owens now, and Brian Urlacher.
Well, but remember, according to Terrell Owens,
he's not showing up.
He said he's not going to show up. He's not going to attend, even though he's being inducted. What's amazing is Jerry Kramer, he's been waiting for like 45 years. And I think that'll be, as I said, he should have gone in years ago. I think because so many Packers were inducted, the Packer roster, so many of those guys who played in those years went in. In fact, I don't know if there are 14 of them from the Lombardi era, and all of the Hall of Famers, five only spent a portion of their career with the Packers, of course, but 14 is got to be. I didn't go back and check all the others, but I was so pleased when Dave Robinson went in 2013. Now, Dave Robinson came later, and of course, Ron Wolf also went in. He was a GM. He went in 2015, and of course, Brett Favre went in last, no, actually, that was 2 years ago. Wow, that was already 2 years ago.
Time flies when you're
having fun. Yeah, it does. But you know, growing up, I mean, these guys were, you know, Jim Taylor went in. He was there in 58. So he was actually there before Lombardi. So the players, and I've often said this, Lombardi came and the team was, I think, 11-1 the prior year. And he came in, and now the next year, of course, he had a winning season. But from that, he came in, Jerry Kramer was there, Jim Taylor was there, Forrest Gregg was there, Bart Starr was there, Ray Nitschke was there. So all of those players, I mean, that's a lot of players on a team that was such a losing team that were with him when he first started, because Lombardi came in 1959. And then, of course, he added some great players. Herb Adderley, who's in, Willie Davis, who was one of my defensive end, one of my all-time favorites. Now, Jim Ringo went in, but he was there and overlapped. I mean, he was there from 53 to 63. And then, of course, you have Paul Hornung. And again, Paul was there before Lombardi, and then was there, you know, for a few years after Lombardi came. And again, Willie Wood came in. There was one guy, Ted Hendricks, but I think he was only with the Packers for a short time. And Jan Stenerud. I mean, you just have this, all of these guys that when I was a kid, I remember every one of them, and especially Ray Nitschke. I mean, Ray Nitschke was this ferocious. I mean, he was really ferocious. And as I remember Kramer, he was really quick. I mean, he would be out there blocking, and that was one of the important things. And it's funny, the Packers had a winning record in all but his first and last season with them. And isn't that interesting? Those were the two seasons that Lombardi was not there, as I recall. I'm pretty sure. Lombardi left in 67, and I think Jerry Kramer's last season was 68. And, of course, he was there in 58 the year before Lombardi came. So Lombardi had winning seasons every year. But also, he was all NFL five times. And he was selected to three Pro Bowls. He came back from a broken ankle. He came back from intestinal infections that caused him to miss action. He also did place kicking. And, you know, for a couple of years, and then I think at the end. So he had, you know, just a... He actually kicked record-tying field goals a few times, and so also won in the 1962 NFL championship game win versus the Giants. So anyway, he's been named to, you know, NFL's 50th anniversary team, the all-decade team of the 60s, the Super Bowl silver anniversary team, and he was really an integral leader in the Packers' dominance during the 1960s. So capped with the victories in the Super Bowls 1 and 2. So why he was not in earlier, or, you know, I don't know. I think the only reason is they felt that they were taking too many Packers from that era. But he's six NFL championship games, five of which were won by Green Bay. You know, really going to watch that. I think that I'm going to be very interested in that speech. One of the best speeches, of course, I've ever heard was Brett Favre. I think that one was tremendous. But, you know, most of the guys who are going in have had a lot of time. I didn't realize that Ray Lewis played for 17 seasons.
Yes, Ray Lewis played 17 seasons, I think, all with the Baltimore Ravens.
And... Now, he was a first-round pick. Jerry Kramer was a fourth-round pick. Now, they didn't have as many players in the draft at that time. And, of course, Randy Moss, he played 14 seasons. But, again, he was a first-round pick. Terrell Owens, has always had an attitude, played 16 seasons. But I didn't realize that he was drafted in the third round by San Francisco. So that was, that's always interesting to me when you see how many people, are first round, second round, or even much later. And guess who just walked in? And I'm sure instead of my being able to talk about the NFL Hall of Fame, John, are you going to be watching that tomorrow night?
Yes, certainly am. Good afternoon, Pat and Bill, and hi, everybody. Yes, indeed, that will be a nice take. I'll be probably switching back and forth between the Red Sox-Yankees game, which has sort of preoccupied my thoughts these days.
I wonder why.
And mine, too, unfortunately.
Yankees
don't seem to be picking it up, do they?
Well, I think they've made some... They've had some... It's a combination of bad luck, because anytime you have a major injury to a significant player, like the broken hand for Judge... but injuries are part of the game. I mean, Betts has been out. Bogaerts has been out for a significant period of time. I think even Benintendi was out for a while. So you've had significant players in the Red Sox that have been out as well. But here you've and of course, on the pitching staff, Drew Pomeranz has been on the DL most of the year. And although he was really your fourth starter, you also had David Price, who started the season on the disabled list. I mean, up and down. You, and now Chris Sale was on the disabled list. He's not going to pitch in the series. So I don't think injuries are really excuses, but I think there's been some fundamental mistakes in the field. You saw that last night.
Yankees have been making a lot of what I call rookie mistakes.
Rookie mistakes. Experienced
players. Or they have just not... been able.
Their execution's been poor.
And for the best bullpen in the majors, they don't seem to be getting guys out.
I think the problem, Bill, is that your starters are getting so beat up that the bullpen is coming in behind, and they're throwing every pitch like, I can't afford to get hit because I'm already behind and I can't get further behind. I think that works on their head a little. They get a little bit too fine and they wind up getting hit. But last night in Boston, I just don't understand Boone leaving Holder in the game. He didn't retire a batter and gave up, was it six or seven runs, six earned. Once Pierce hit the three-run homer, I think you got to take him out there, or maybe one more batter, but just pounding. These were not scratch hits. They were pounding the ball all night. And the other problem you had with that was you brought in Sessa, who was going to be your starter for Saturday, knowing that happened. This piece would be the bad luck, where Hap comes down with this hand, foot, mouth disease, whatever, New York Mets disease, I guess. That's unfortunate because they don't have anybody to pitch tomorrow. So right now, pretty much the division hope is on the shoulders of one Severino tonight. Because they lose this game, they are going to struggle tomorrow. They even have a pitcher announced tomorrow. And if you lose all three of these games, you're now eight games behind in the loss column. And, I understand there's still six more games in September and then the Sunday night game. But what are you going to win, all seven of those games? I don't think so. So I really think tonight is the big game for them. If they can somehow find a way to steal it tonight, then you have a chance of getting a split in the series. But even a split works to Boston's advantage because they came in 5.5 up. The Yankees needed to take 3 out of 4 here. And right now, I think they'd settle for a split. They'd be happy given they lost the first game and with all the injuries.
Well, remember something. As you correctly point out, injuries are part of the game. But the difference with the Red Sox have been somebody has stepped into the role of whoever's gotten hurt. They've stepped up.
That's
a mark of
Look at Steve Pierce, three home runs last night. He's a guy they picked up 2 weeks ago.
And remember, Pierce had been in the Yankee organization.
He was in the Yankee organization, yeah. In fact, there was some criticism because the Red Sox got him from Toronto. They were negotiating for Jay Happ with the Blue Jays for like a month. And so somebody, of course, Thursday morning quarterbacking, called in today and said, well, wait a minute. When the Yankees were making this deal for Happ, why didn't they ask for Pierce to be thrown in? Well, you know, number one, at that time, they weren't looking for a heavy-hitting outfielder. And number two, I don't think anybody thought Pierce would be quite that good. But that's the chemistry in the Red Sox right now. You brought in Moreland last year, and he's continued this year. Look at how J.D. Martinez has fit right in like a glove. I mean, all of these players, there's nobody, no selfish players here. Every night somebody different. And right now the chemistry is fantastic. And I think Alex Cora has been a real pleasant surprise. He hasn't made any huge mistakes. If anything, he's maybe left some pitchers in a little bit too long. But, I mean, the team is 42 games over 500.
Well, you can't argue with success. I mean, I think the Red Sox are one of those teams that are simply caught lightning in the bottle. They're a very talented team. They're a very deep team. They've got everything going
for them. And they're relatively healthy, although, you know, you do have Sale out.
Sale is out for, what, two rotations?
Yeah, at least two rotations.
He comes off the DL, I think, in 8 days.
Something like that. So he's going to miss three starts. And you've had Pomerantz not playing well. You've had Tyler Thornburg come in, and he started the season on the DL, and he's come in his last five appearances. He's been unhittable. So, I mean, I think you've got to give a lot of credit to the pitching coach, the batting coaches. The team is, I think, leads the majors in hitting at almost 280 clip, and that's unheard of. I think they're second to the Yankees in home runs. And the pitching has been real good. But the problem is the Yankee strength is the bullpen. But if the starters are so bad that by the time the bullpen comes in and the latter innings, they're already behind five runs, you know, what good is that going to do you?
Well, remember, the Yankees started out up 4-1 last night.
And 4-0, actually.
4-0, thank you. And gave it all back and then some with a nightmare inning. I think the Red Sox scored, what was it, 8 runs?
I think it was 4-2, 10-4. I guess they scored 8 runs in the fourth. Yeah. That is true.
So, you know, you can't do that. Now, the interesting...
And that gave rise to what will become one of the all-time famous remarks. I was watching the game with my wife, and at the end of the fourth inning, she saw me kind of settling in a little bit watching the game, and she said, wait a minute, the Red Sox have just scored. I think it's time for you to score, so let's go. So at that point, what was the sports fan to say? And having said that, when I turned the game on 2 hours later, when I turned on FAN, I found out the final score. They had scored 15 runs, five
well,
more
this
runs.
This is supposed to be a family program.
Well, this is a family program, Pat. I'll give you that. But having said that, it's, you know, always entertainment at its finest.
Well, I appreciate that, John. It's always good to hear about your private life on the air. But the other thing that I should point out is the Yankee bullpen, getting as stretched as it is probably going to bend but not break. I think it's not panic time. I think that
the team's almost 28 games over 500.
Games go, yeah,
their problem is they can't beat the Baltimore Orioles or the Tampa
exactly,
Rays.
Exactly. That Tampa and Baltimore, they've had real problems.
That, there's the nine games that they have to make up with the Red Sox.
Exactly.
Everything else is
pretty even.
And
remember, the Yankees had a lot of rainouts early.
Yeah.
The Red Sox,
well, that's the problem. I think they've got about six games in hand. But the problem with that, Bill, is if you don't win all six of them, you're still five games behind in the loss column. So
right.
It's a tall order. They have to win tonight.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, every game's a must win.
It's a lot of pressure.
And it is a lot of pressure.
And you're pitching tonight knowing you have to win because you're going to have a Triple-A pitcher up tomorrow.
And remember,
I mean,
something.
How could Boone, Bill, you tell me this as an experienced professional and as a Yankee fan. Boone knows his only option for Saturday is Sessa. Why does he bring him in the fourth inning, fifth inning, when you're already down by six runs and the Red Sox are on a huge roll? Why would you burn four innings with a guy who you hope to start on Saturday? It makes no sense to me.
Well, I didn't understand that either. The only thing I could figure is...
And why did they leave Holder in so
long? Did they really think he could make that up? That was surprising.
Yeah.
That they would bring someone that they knew he wanted to have him start on Saturday. I mean, they don't do that anymore. The old days, these guys would pitch every 3 days and nobody thought about it.
Right.
They pitched the whole game.
That's
but
right.
But that's not what
they also throw 98 today, Pat.
Yeah,
I think that's the difference.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, but... And I just wanted to go back and say one thing, John. Up until a few minutes ago, I thought you were a diehard Red Sox fan. For any Red Sox fan to turn off the television, I mean, I can tell you, if that was my husband, Dave.
And watching the Packers. He would have said, Pat, wait till halftime.
He'd still be saying, wait a minute, they could lose, we can't get a... I don't think he relaxes unless they're, what?
Let's just touchdowns. Say I had great confidence in the home team to hold that 10-4 lead.
Well, we're going to find out what Aaron Boone is really made of, whether he really is big league managerial material, because right now... the thought has occurred to me that last night maybe the Mets snuck into the Yankee clubhouse and put on their uniforms.
Yeah,
the Red
yeah.
Because it was a real beatdown if they're of beatdowns. The rotation's going from bad to worse, I have to tell
you. Well, they knew at the start of the season that if there was any weak spot on the Yankees, it was the starters. Now, there was some question about the Red Sox as well because, again, Pomerantz was on the DL. Price was on the DL. Thornburg was on the DL. I mean, you had a lot of frontline pitchers for the Red Sox that weren't there to start the season. I think the difference is you've had dominating performances by Sale and Porcello, and you've had very good performances from your back-end rotation. Your third, fourth, fifth starters have pitched credibly, and then the hitting has picked them up. But the ERA, I think, is the best amongst the starting rotation. The Yankees have the best bullpen, and the Red Sox have the best starters in the majors. So when you get that going for you, and you have a J.D. Martinez, and you have Mookie Betts, and you have Benintendi, I mean, you got professional hitters, Moreland, and now this guy, Pierce. I mean, they're just hitting the ball a ton. Chemistry is everything, and the only concern you have if you're a Boston fan is if they're peaking too soon.
Right. That may be.
And, the Yanks are about to start Chance Adams Sunday.
Yeah, they don't know anything. No scouting report on him.
But
you never know. If they can get five innings out of him.
They're a reliever, and they're bringing him up from AAA Scranton. So,
that's advantage Yankees to some extent. The only problem with Chance Adams is I don't think he throws very hard.
No, he doesn't.
And the Red Sox murder pitchers that don't throw hard.
Well, and it's interesting, though. I would have thought that if the Yankees had the best bullpen, that would outweigh the fact that
not really,
Boston
Pat, because
has the best
if the bullpen comes in when you're down 3-plus runs, even if you shut down the opposition, you lose.
But the question is, how are they getting all of those runs off
the
of
starters? Because
starters.
The starters have had problems.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
so
Tanaka
really
has pitched fairly well recently, but Severino, his last four starts is bad. CeCe is, he's, 37 now? A lot of bullets, not that many bullets left in that arm.
So why do you say they have the best bullpen?
Well, I think they were hoping the starters would get into the sixth inning, if not the seventh, and then you basically have your three relievers
right.
to come in. And they added, it's funny you say that, Pat, because if you think about it, they added Zach Britton, all right? They got a good deal there, although they gave up some nice prospects, but they got Zach Britton to add to the back end of the bullpen when you needed to bolster the back end of the rotation.
I never understood that because, the only thing I can figure is that the Yankees were rolling the dice with what they had.
I agree. I agree with that.
They
were taking a big chance that Jay Happ would turn out to be lightning in a bottle, and he did give him six good innings, shutout innings in his debut. It was ironic that last Sunday both Eovaldi for the Red Sox and Knapp for the Yankees were both starting, making their debuts, and both pitched shutout ball, Happ for six and Eovaldi for seven innings. But Eovaldi pitches 96 to 98. Mm-hmm. I was amazed that he was available. I mean, again, they gave up some good prospects for him, but I was amazed that he was available at that price.
Yeah. The only, getting back to Sessa, the only thing I can figure is Boone decided to sacrifice Sessa to protect his better relievers for the rest of the series.
That is a very good thought, Bill, because he may have thought, look, this game is gone. If I start bringing in relievers, now my bullpen is wasted for the last two games of the series, because he must be thinking, although you would like to think, if he's looking to get five innings out of anybody on, you know, name your starter on Saturday, get me to the sixth inning within two runs. And then my bullpen comes in and I hope the offense wakes up.
Well, let me give you this thought. Supposing the Yankees simply put in starter, and after two innings...
Well, that's the Tampa Bay. That's Tampa Bay. They tried that, and they did it actually successfully. But the problem with that is you burn out your bullpen pretty quickly because you're putting five pitchers in every game.
Right.
Well, you know something? The Yankees may not have a choice if they see things go south.
I agree with you. I think on Saturday, if it's in the third or fourth inning and they're down a couple of runs, they're going to have no choice but to come in with Robertson in the third or fourth inning and try to keep it close.
And remember, you've got to stretch this. And the other thing, too, is, as you correctly point out, the Red Sox are very good at waiting out, drawing out counts, and then
deep counts.
Guys not going, not throwing real fast. They get all over those balls.
And one other thing that Sterling pointed out on the broadcast, he said the Red Sox, quote, are stealing the Yankees blind. They are running on every opportunity. Everybody on first base has got, what did they steal, four or five bases last night?
Yeah,
and most
amazing,
of those guys scored
it?
Because the catcher doesn't have a big arm, and they're running on him like crazy. Sanchez isn't there.
Well, remember, Sanchez is not known for his defense.
No, but he's got a great arm. If he catches the ball, and that's a big if, but if he catches it, he's got a very good chance to throw out the runner. Without Sanchez back there, they're running on Romine like water through a sieve.
Oh, yeah. And, what,
and boy, do they pick up on that quickly.
Well, scouts get paid a lot of money for, Pat, that one thing. Run on this kid. He can't. He's not going to throw anybody. I mean, they had their fast runners, but they even had I think Pierce stole a base. I think Benintendi stole a base. I mean, they got decent speed, but these aren't burners.
Right.
Were stealing second base. And it was putting a lot of pressure on the pitcher who was already getting pounded. So, I mean, they just carved up Holder like you wouldn't believe. They were running on him. They were taking pitches. And then when the pitch came in, the problem with Holder is he didn't have his good stuff. So when he had to come in, anything close over the plate, they just pounced on it.
Well, remember something. This is the time of year where ostensibly good teams get exposed.
Correct. And I think the hitting carried the Yankees, and it was some decent pitching, and it was enough to get – but you're right, and they stayed with the Red Sox for 3 months.
And the interesting thing, too, is the Yankees have to play more teams with losing records.
The Yankees have the weakest second half – schedule.
Exactly.
The problem is they still have a lot of games they have. I mean, even if you're playing nine games against weak teams, you might lose three of them.
That's
three
right.
more
that's
losses.
That's baseball.
Hey, guys.
And that's the problem in baseball.
Why
this
don't
isn't
we take
football.
A quick break and play some of our spots, and then we'll be back and finish up.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, we're back. It's the sports guys and back with Bill is taking
half the sports guys team here. Pat, yeah, me and
well,
Pat. Yeah.
That's
well, Pat, let's talk a little NFL. You have the Hall of Fame game. Now, there's a couple of issues. One, the T.O. debacle. I mean,
right.
Here the guy's not even in the game anymore, and he's still spoiling things. I mean, how juvenile.
I know.
Second
I know.
Was... The Ray Lewis thing, and he's dancing on the field when I think most of the country detests this guy. He was involved in a homicide. He's lucky to be out of jail.
Well,
and free.
Talking about stuff, and I'd like to get your view on the fact that the Ohio State coach
yes.
was suspended.
Yes.
And
yes. A couple of things on that.
Yeah. It's very interesting because I don't know. I don't think this is a situation that with Paterno knowing about
Well, let's just recap very quickly for those who may not be aware. They may have seen the headlines, but drilling down a little bit, the substance of it is the allegation, and really it's not even an allegation anymore. He admitted that he was aware there was a domestic violence situation going on with one of his assistant coaches. Now, to his credit, he claims when Ohio State hired this assistant coach, and I can't remember the guy's name.
I think it's Smith, isn't it?
I think so. But there was already a DV incident when he was, I think, one of the Florida schools. So when they hired him, there was a DV history. Okay, so that's number one.
Well, let me ask you, though, because what I had heard, and maybe there's been a change, that the coach acknowledged that he had known about an earlier
That's
DV,
the one in Florida.
But not about the one that went on, I think, in around 2015.
Correct. I believe that's correct. But the point is that the one in Florida, the wife dropped the charges and didn't pursue it, which you can't do in New Jersey, but apparently in Florida you can. So the point
you can. You don't need to proceed.
The family law expert. Right. I mean, if a spouse files a DV complaint, they will dismiss it without a hearing to make sure she wasn't pressured into dismissing it?
Well, what will happen if there is a temporary restraining order, then they have to go back for the final.
No, to dissolve the restraints. But.
Well, no. Then they have to go back for a final hearing. And if at that time the spouse says, I don't want to proceed, the judge on the record has to have, this.
They have to ask her the circumstances surrounding the voluntary dismissal.
Right. But she can, in fact, voluntarily dismiss.
Okay. But only after questioning to make sure it's a knowing and voluntary waiver.
Correct. Now, there can be an assault charge filed by the municipal court that isn't necessarily dropped, which is which is in some cases very unfair. But I didn't realize that at the earlier incident the assistant coach was not in at Ohio State. But
not only that, Pat. Let's drill down a little bit deeper. The alleged occurrence was off campus. It was not on campus. And the wife is not an employee of Ohio State. Now, I can't remember the title, whatever section that, makes this such a offendable omission, if you will, but for not reporting it, has to do with employees of the university and incidents which take place on campus. Nobody is disputing that the assistant coach's wife was not an employee and that the offense took place off campus. But what further complicates it is apparently Urban Meyer's wife, and I can't remember her name, is a registered nurse who works at Ohio State University and who knows the assistant coach's wife and who was made aware of the DV allegation. However, again, took place off campus. Secondly, if you look at the guidelines, a registered nurse is not obligated to report. They are obligated to ask questions and investigate, but they have discretion as to what to do from there. But there's no obligation to report it, absent a black eye or something like that. It was just a conversation like, gee, we're having problems and my husband's gotten physical with me. She didn't, at that point, that does not rise to the level of domestic violence that she as an RN had to report.
But, and you might find this strange, but in my view, even if it does rise to domestic violence, and the wife told Meyer's wife, and she told him.
Not even the totem pole hearsay.
But does that create any obligation? In other words, if somebody.
Well, that's the argument, Pat. That is exactly the argument that how are you, attributing this knowledge necessarily to Urban Meyer? I think the problem is, it's established that he knew when the guy was hired that there was a history. He knew that there'd been rumors this was happening, and his wife had actual knowledge from the abused spouse that there was a problem. And what they're doing is connecting those dots and trying to hold him accountable, which I think is probably unfair. Having said that, Pat,
I agree. I think that at what point can somebody be held accountable for something.
We talked
even
about
if
this.
The wife talked to him directly. You know, it's not.
She's a non-employee, and the act happened off campus. Having said that,
even forget if she's a non-employee. The point is, you know, he didn't witness any kind of a criminal activity.
Well, nor did Joe Paterno.
Well, you're right, except
the thing with Paterno was that he was told by third parties that there was abuse, and he didn't do anything. That was the difference, whereas here it was more rumor and allegation. But having said that, because for purposes of this show, I don't think we can the exact facts, we're not positive. We're going on what we're being told. Because my wife asked me about this last night, and I said to her, and perhaps I'm speaking as the father of three daughters, two of whom are married, I believe we have reached the point in society where, and I certainly don't want to get us to the point as a society where unsubstantiated allegations are going to be given weight such that legal charges can be brought. But I'm at the point where if there are allegations with some evidence, I think they have to be investigated. I think we are at a stage in society where abuse is so rampant that I am willing to err on the side of caution to the point where if there's one or two, you know, in this case, I myself think that Urban Meyer should have done something about it. I think it
but
rises
what?
To that level.
I guess
legally, no.
What could he have done? Other than, I mean, he wouldn't have been able to fire.
He could have conducted his own investigation. If you're the head coach, you are like the CEO of a corporation. This is Ohio State University. And we'll refrain from talking about that whole culture and the culture of college football. Suffice it to say, and this, again, was brought up in the Paterno case, there wasn't a chicken in College Park that chirped without Paterno knowing about. I don't believe there's anything that went on in Ohio State that Urban Meyer didn't know about. He had enough knowledge to call this guy into his office and say, look, what is going on? Before I call the prosecutor's office, you tell me what's going on here. And I may call anyway, but I want to hear it straight from you. Now, maybe he did that, and maybe his assistant coach said, look, coach, we're having trouble. We're having marital problems.
Yeah, but
there's been some history, but I have it under control. We're working it out. What's the guy supposed to do then? At that point, he has nothing else to go by. He can't call his assistant coach a liar.
And the difference also was the stuff was going on campus.
And I think that may be the distinction, Pat. Bill, I know you're back and you can weigh in on this. The distinction being, if the allegation is that something took place on campus, I think that absolutely has to be investigated, and whoever is charged probably needs to be put on administrative leave so that they can't talk to anybody and taint the investigation, and you do it. Here, it was removed to be undisputed that this DV incident or incidents happened in the home outside the university. I think that is it shouldn't be, but I think for purposes of drawing the line somewhere, it has to be taken into consideration.
But I would think of the same thing in a company, even a law office. If something is happening outside of the office,
no, I disagree,
what responsibility?
Pat. I disagree. If somebody in my office is under these circumstances, they would be called in and action would be taken.
On what? On allegations? I mean, at this
there would. I mean, if it were me and I were leading the investigation, I would say I want a full investigative report of this. I want to speak. I want a statement from your wife as to what's going on, and I want to hear your side of the story, because we don't want somebody engaging in that kind of conduct who's associated with our firm. Now, if you satisfy us that there's no problem here, fine. We'll
but the
drop.
Question is,
sort of a morals clause.
But in a company, I mean, it just seems to me
But Pat, I think you're at the point you have to do it. I think it's so rampant, and as a society, we have an obligation to protect people who can't protect themselves. And I've gone over, I mean, 5 years ago, I never would have said that. I'm there now. I'm there now to the point where I don't believe the average woman makes it up. I just don't.
No, I don't either. Don't get me wrong. I don't either. But the question is, you know, now in this case, his ex-wife now did take and did get a protective order. But I don't know.
Yeah, this is the second wife we're talking about with the DV incident. Correct?
No, it's his ex-wife.
Oh, it's the same one?
Well, I don't know if he's married a second time. It's his ex-wife who's... this
that's what I'm saying. We're not solid on all the facts, but Bill, my point is that I think as employers, as responsible members of society, I think you have to ask the question. You have to call the person in confidentially and say, what the heck is going on?
I think that's the starting point. I think you have to do more than that. Remember, lawyers were held to higher standards of personal
Yeah, well, we're talking about lawyers. That's a different story.